All right, so as a parent of three young children, not only do I get to play 100 questions every day, but I also get to deal with like follow-up conversations and discipline, right? Which is really fun. Sometimes you gotta bite your tongue so you don't laugh, you know, or turn away. But so one of the things that Ashley and I decided was, instead of always having the "do you know why you're in timeout" or "do you know why you got a spanking" conversation, is we thought there's gotta be a way we can be proactive and not just always reactive when we're disciplining our children. So Ashley came up with this really, really cool invention. I wish she had patented it. Honestly, it was really helpful, and I think that you're going to find it helpful this morning as well. It's called, you ready for it? The listening ear. The listening ear. Some of you have probably heard of this, and to be able to use this miraculous tool yourself, we're going to practice it this morning, okay? All right? Some of you look uncomfortable with that, but that's what we're going to do. Okay, so everybody pull out your listening ear. A couple of you aren't pulling them out yet, so we're going to wait here. Okay, good. All right, so we're in a minute. We're going to open up God's Word, okay? I want you to listen to what God's going to tell you as we open it up. And then when He speaks, I want you to write down what He tells you. Everybody understand? Okay, this is usually the point where you say, "Yes, Daddy," but "Yes, Pastor Ben" will suffice. Okay, couple of you are with me. Good. Very good. Okay, you can put your listening ears. Well, don't put them away, but you don't have to hold on to them anymore. Well, we quickly learned with our first boy that just because you say "listen" and they say, "Yeah, I'm listening," doesn't mean they're going to obey, right? Everybody knows that. And it's technically, those of us who are very technical know it's possible to hear what I have to say, pick up your toys, quit chasing your brother. They can hear it, listen, and go right back to chasing their brother and not do anything about what I told them to do. It's completely possible. After several of these encounters where he says he's listening, and I say, "No, you're not," and then, of course, we go to the punishment, I came up with something that, when attached with the listening ear, a little phrase, it is a fail-safe way to make sure every toddler's behavior issue is fixed. You're laughing because some of you saw me chasing my kids earlier this morning, but the phrase is this: listen and obey. Listen and obey, right? Radical. I know. You know, though, as disciples of Jesus, we need to establish this rhythm in our lives. We all need to establish the rhythm of listening to Him and walking in obedience. If you want to grow as a follower of Jesus, that's all a disciple is, you've got to build this rhythm into your life. And I want to ask you a question this morning, and it's rhetorical, so just think on it. Biblically, what's love to God? Or how do we demonstrate our love for God? Jesus gives us the answer in John chapter 14. You can turn there now. John chapter 14, starting in verse 15. We'll see what Jesus has to say about it. That's a pretty good place to start, I think. John 14, starting in verse 15. Ready for the answer? And while you're turning there, don't forget your listening ears, people. "If you love me, you will obey what I command. And I will ask the Father, and He will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept Him because it neither sees Him nor knows Him. But you know Him, for He lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him." Then Judas, not Judas Iscariot, said, "But Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world?" And Jesus replied, "If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him and will come to him, and we will make our home with him." We demonstrate our love for God by obedience, by obeying, by listening and obeying. Little context to our passage this morning. The chapters in John, starting in chapter 13 through 17, are all towards the end of Jesus' life. So it's conversations he's having with his disciples before Judas betrays him in John chapter 13 through chapter 17. So Jesus is packing a lot of truth and a lot of teaching into this last time he has with his disciples. And we find our passage in John 14, there's several important, I would say three important teachings, and we don't have time to delve into all of them, but, and you can see it on the screen, the relationship between love for God and obedience to God, the person and work of the Holy Spirit, and the triune nature of God. They all have this common thread related to our obedience to our Father. How many times does Jesus say something to the effect of, love for me is obeying me, in this passage? How many times? Three times. 15, verse 21, and verse 23. As disciples of Jesus, we should live our lives by this mantra. If Jesus says it, we do it. And if the Bible teaches it, we obey it. It's really that simple when it comes down to listening to our Father. And not only do we see in this passage that there's kind of this mantra that should govern the way that we live our lives as His followers, but we also see a universal scriptural truth. If you turn to verse 23, Jesus says, of course, if anyone loves me, he'll obey my teaching. And then he says, my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. The universal scriptural truth is this. Love in obedience always leads to deeper intimacy with God. Love and obedience always leads to him revealing more of himself to us. That's true. That phrase, make our home with, comes from the Greek word mone, and it means to abide with. Jesus talks all about that really soon in John chapter 15. So Jesus is saying that if we love and obey him, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit will come and abide with us. They will live with us. And that's what Jesus, he goes on to talk a lot more in John 14, 15, and 16 about the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. You've heard a couple people mention that from the stage already this morning. He's the one who works in our heart. He's the Holy Spirit. He's the Spirit of truth. He's the comforter. He's the counselor. Pastor Paul talked about a couple weeks ago. Literally, he is our advocate, our parakletos. And his role in obedience is this. He's the one who implants the desire in our hearts, and he empowers us to walk out in obedience to God. That's what the Holy Spirit does in our lives. Do you ever realize that? That you can't come to God without him first coming to you and convicting you of your sin or giving you the desire to seek him? The Holy Spirit implants that desire in our heart, and then he gives us the ability to step out and walk in obedience. And then the last part real quickly, and we could, man, all of these three things we could teach on for a long time, but talking about the triune nature of our God. In verse 16, we see Jesus mention the Trinity. He says, I'll ask the Father, and he will give you a counselor, the Holy Spirit, to be with you forever. So Jesus is asking the Father, and the Father is sending the Holy Spirit. It's a perfect example of love and obedience. The Trinity is our perfect example of unity, love, and obedience. We see here's Jesus who's obeying the Father, here's the Father sending the Holy Spirit, and here's the Holy Spirit revealing who Jesus is. It's this beautiful cycle, this beautiful dance of unity at work in God's very character. So maybe this morning you're thinking, okay, that's great. I got it, Ben. I know that if I want to love God, I've got to obey him. I know the Holy Spirit is the means who gives me the ability to obey him, and I see that the Trinity is my perfect example. But I'm not God, and practically, give me something on how I can actually walk in obedience with the Lord. I'm glad, hopefully, someone's thinking that, because that's where we're going. You can turn to Genesis chapter 6, chapter 6 and 7. It's a really familiar story. I'll give you a hint as we're thinking of getting there. Who built the ark? Noah. Okay, good. Yeah, Noah is, when I think about obedience in the Bible, I think of Noah. And Noah, we give him a lot of credit and he did some cool things, but we don't realize just how desperate of a situation that Noah existed in. In Noah's day, the earth was so terrible and the people were so violent that God says it literally grieved him that he had made man. Their wickedness, it says every inclination and thought of their heart was only evil all the time. And that's the world that Noah lived in. And this is what's said about Noah in verse 9 of Genesis 6. Noah was a righteous man, blameless among the people of his time, and he walked with God. He was the only person that was righteous, the only person who walked with God, the only person of integrity on the earth at this time. So God decides to warn him of his plan to wipe out all of humanity by a flood. And Noah does what, and God tells him, build an ark. Animals are going to come to you. They'll come on the ark, and I'll save you and your family from this impending doom. And Noah does exactly what God tells him to do. You can read in Genesis 6, 22, Noah did everything as God commanded him. And then chapter 7, verse 5, Noah did all that the Lord commanded him. His obedience was complete and total. From the life of Noah, we learn how to. We learn some practical steps when we look at his life and how we can step out in obedience to the Holy Spirit and obey God. And I came up with an acrostic drawn from his life, and it's the word obey. Obey. It's O-B-E-Y, right? Observe. The first thing we learn when we look at Noah's life is we need to observe. Then we need to believe. Then we need to engage, and we need to yield. If we want to begin to obey God ourselves, we need to learn, like Noah, to live out these principles of observing, engaging, believing, and yielding. If you're observant, to be observant means you're keenly aware. It means you're aware of your surroundings. You're looking intently, and you're listening. The Bible says that Noah walked with God, which again, wow, that's a cool study to do through the Old Testament and into the New Testament sometime, about the people that says they walked with God. But that means he journeyed with him. Noah had communication regularly. God spoke to him, and Noah spoke to God. He had intimate fellowship with God. So to observe, that means we are looking intently into where God is at work in our lives, and looking for where we can join him, and then we're listening to what he might be telling us to do. Simply, that's what it means to observe. And that's the first step to practically obeying what God would have us do. And then comes believe. B, we've got to believe. And this is where you act, but you act in your mind. It's where you make a decision, a mental decision. You discern, God, is this you speaking to me, or is this my own voice? Is this my thought, or is this your voice? And if we decide that it is God speaking to us, this is where we trust and we step out and we begin to move. And we don't have record of Noah making that decisive or having that decisive moment after he heard from God, but we know it must have been this process must have played out in his mind, because he did everything that God told him. He followed God's instructions. And if you read chapter 6 of Genesis, the instructions are very detailed. But Noah follows them all to a T. And he built the ark perfectly. As believers, we tend to spend a lot of time worrying, right? Worrying over God, whether God's telling us to do this or to do that. Is this God telling me? Is this me telling me? Should I take this job? Is this your will, God, for me to take this job? Or is it this job that I should take? Should I share with my neighbor about this, or should I be quiet? Should I give this, or should I not? Should I do this? We're constantly wrestling with God about what his will is in particular situations. If you aren't sure if it's your thoughts or God's thoughts, or if God seems to be silent on the issue, you can do the same thing for both. You can go to Scripture. When you're not sure if it's you speaking or God speaking, check it against the authority of his word. This is his revealed will for each of our lives. If it's God speaking to you, it's going to match the revelation of his truth in Scripture. And if it seems like God is silent and he's not leading you about what you should do in this particular decision, search his word, and he's going to give you a leading. And you know what? We have a luxury today that Noah didn't possess. He alone followed God in his day and age. We're a part of the church. We're a part of the body of Christ. We get to do this together as a team. So you know what? As you're searching Scripture, if what God is saying to you doesn't pop out, you're still having trouble discerning, you can phone a friend. You can seek godly counsel. I myself have done that from time to time, and that oftentimes will shed light or a fresh perspective on what God is saying to us. So after we believe, after we make that decision to trust God, we must engage, right? Here's the E in obey. We must engage. This is the action step. No longer are we on the edge of the pool, testing the temperature of the water, dipping our toe in, right? This is where we dive into what God is telling us. Obviously, it's a little bit risky. It's a little bit scary. No longer are we observing and kind of in the listening phase and deciding in our minds to do it. We're stepping out and we're moving. And it can be scary. If we're honest, most of us are like my children. Most of us are like my children. We don't have a listening problem. We have an inaction problem. Right? Maybe it's just me. I guess it's just me. We don't have a listening problem. We have an inaction problem. We know very well most of the time what God is telling us to do and what we should do. If we're honest, we just don't want to do it. It's risky. Noah heard God speak. He decided no matter how crazy, and think about that for a minute. Some people think that there'd never been rain on the earth until that point. I don't get into all that, but how crazy that must have been to have to obey God to build this huge ark. It would have been scary. God's going to destroy everything I know, everything that I've seen, everything that's been a part of my life for the last 500 years is going to go away. But Noah decided, no matter how crazy that sounded, that that was what God told him to do. So he committed to starting to do it. But you know what's interesting? Once Noah made that decision, he began to engage in what God was telling him to do. What happened? Did God magically, there the ark appeared with all the animals two by two? No. Noah had to work at it. He had to get a saw. He had to go out, saw down trees, drag the trees back, form them together, form the hull of the boat. He had to put hammer to wood and build the ark. What God calls us to do is going to be a little risky, maybe a little crazy, and it's going to require effort on our part. It's going to require a little bit of effort. It's going to require us to roll up our sleeves, get a little dirty. So the first three steps, obey, believe, and engage, are linear. These are things that we do one after the other as we discern God's voice and begin to put it into practice. The third step of yield is something that's constant and continual throughout this entire process. We are constantly, as we seek to obey God, submitting to the Spirit's leading. That's something we have to be constantly doing all throughout. Now, there's a word submit, right? There's something we really don't like to do, if we're honest. Submit, surrender, and yield. We don't like that because those words imply the truth that obeying what God is telling us to do is probably going to cost us something. Jesus says, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Obeying God and following Christ will cost us something. Scholars debate how long it took Noah to build the ark, but one thing they're all certain of is it took years. It took him years to complete this massive boat. And this is interesting too. I hadn't thought about this until I did some more research this week. He probably employed people to help him build it. He probably paid people. He probably had to invest some resources into helping build the ark. Or I guess maybe if they lived for a long time back then, if it took him 100 years to build it, he might have been able to do it with his three sons. But it cost him some resources. Imagine for a minute that God calls you to build a massive boat in your backyard. It's this 15-year undertaking, and you're working on it, and it takes you 15 years to complete it. I think the neighbors are going to think you're a little crazy during those 15 years, right? That's what happened to Noah. Being obedient to God cost him his reputation for sure, and it probably cost him some resources. At Power Time Camp this year, I had an opportunity where the Holy Spirit spoke to me and I had the chance to step out and to put into practice this process of obey. One night we were in the service and the Holy Spirit told me, you need to take John outside and I want you to read Psalm 139 to him and quote Ephesians 5:1 to him. Tell him he's my dearly loved son. It's like, oh, okay, God, that, you know, that sounds good, but John's like a hardened guy. He's a man's man. And you want me to tell him that you love him and talk about how he's fearfully and wonderfully made? It's like, yeah, okay. Now, the observe part happened before that time. I had been praying up until that time of Power Time Camp and praying that week for opportunities for the Holy Spirit to use me to speak into these guys' lives, leading them to Christ or helping them make a decision for him. So I'd already been looking and listening with expectation to where God wanted me to step out. I had been observant up until that point. And I even tried to talk with John that week. I'd ask him, you know, typical questions about family, sports, athletics, his interests. Everything I got was this barrier of he'd give me a couple answers and wouldn't let me in. So I thought, okay, this is probably from you, God. So then when it came to the believe part, that was pretty easy because it was scripture, right? A lot of times when I know it's God talking to me, when either it's he'll say this verse, he lays it upon my heart, or he'll give me a word, and I go and I'm like, oh, that was straight from the Bible. So it wasn't very hard to believe this is something God wanted me to say and not me, but I still wrestled with it, right? Even though I knew it was from God, I still wrestled with it because I'm thinking, John is a man's man, a hardened guy. He's got a past, I knew that, and he had the tattoos to prove it. I'm thinking, he's going to think I'm just a weird guy saying, hey, will you come outside so I can talk to you and tell you that God loves you? I didn't envision it going well in that moment, but I said, God, I know it's got to be from you, so I'm going to trust you. And I stepped out and engaged in what God was calling me to do. I took the risk. Well, I took John outside and I read those verses to him. And as soon as I told him Ephesians 5:1, that he was a dearly loved son of his father, tears started coming down his cheeks. And I was as surprised as he was, I think. And he just proceeded to tell me his life story. And he proceeded to tell me all the, I can't go into it all, but basically he had a lot of reasons not to trust people and not to have faith in people. And I just explained to him, man, that's not how life should be. I'm really sorry for you, but, and you've gone through a lot of hardship. That's not how God intended that to go. Even some Christians had done some things to him in the name of Jesus that was wrong. And so we kept talking, and after that, he just fired away question after question after question. And I tried my best to answer. And as we were going through this process of question and answer, God, it hit me, like, John doesn't know Jesus. In that moment, I yielded to the Holy Spirit and said something like, Father, would my words be your words? And I pray you would use this conversation to draw John to yourself. So we went back and forth, question and answer, for an hour and a half. Stuff he had questions about the Bible, and I'd try to lead him to the answers in Scripture. And at the end of it, I asked John, I said, are you ready to place your faith and your trust in Jesus Christ? Are you ready to receive his forgiveness and to put your faith in him? And he said, no, I'm not. I know I couldn't fully commit. It wouldn't be from my heart. And I said, well, I can respect that, but you don't know how long you've got. Let me pray for you, and I'm here for you the rest of the week if you want to talk. Even though he didn't receive Christ that night, I left just so joyful and excited because I knew that I'd been obedient to my Heavenly Father, and I knew he was proud of me because I'd stepped out, and I'd shown him my love for him was made evident in my obedience to him. So how do we demonstrate our love for God? By obeying him, by listening to him and obeying him. Now, obedience is not the end goal for every disciple. You may be thinking, great, that's hard enough as it is. The end goal is transformation. The end goal is transformation. No one ever came to Jesus to stay the same, right? No one ever came to Christ. We came to be healed, to be forgiven, to be delivered, to be set free, to be saved, to be born again. But we didn't come to stay the same. We came to Christ so he would transform us and make us new. But obedience is an irreplaceable step to transformation. And I want to show you, thank you, yeah, the slides before you. At First Alliance Church, we define a disciple as a follower of Jesus who's increasingly worshiping, obeying, and being transformed by Jesus. So you can see the cross at the bottom. Once we come to know Jesus, we commit our lives to him and receive his forgiveness, we become his follower. And this is, it's on steps on purpose, the image is, because it's a progression. It's this awesome thing. As we begin to worship Jesus in prayer, in the word, we begin to love him. And no longer is obedience a dutiful marching to his orders. It's something that we love to do. We can't help but obey him because we love him. And as we begin to obey him, as we are searching his scripture for the truth and trying to obey everything we encounter there, we find that at the end of it, one day we wake up and we're not the same person we used to be. We're new. 2 Corinthians 5:17 has finally come true in our lives. We are a new creation. The old is gone and the new has come. I hope that you can attest to that. Church, you should not be the same person today that you were 15 years ago when you came to Jesus. You should not be the same person today that you were 2 years ago. You should not be the same person today that you were 2 months ago. Christ is constantly working in each of our hearts if you know him. And if he's working, you are going to change. We did not come to Jesus to stay the same. I hope you believe that. And I hope you still have your listening ears on this morning. You still got them? Okay, good. I want you to think about, what has God told you to do, and what are you going to do about it? As we wrap up this morning, what has God told you to do, and what are you going to do about it today? I want the worship team to come forward at this time, and I'm going to give you just two ways. One is more personal, and maybe even private, that you can respond, and one would be more public today. So as the worship team comes forward, you can pull this insert out of your bulletin. This matches with the awesome graphics that Lauren, our communications director, helped me with today. Take this home. You might already know what God wants you to do, but look, where is God working? Where do you need to join him? The observe part. Believe. Decide, is that you, God, speaking, or is that me? And make a commitment. Write it down. Here's what I think God's telling me to say. Search scripture and come back and say, yep, that's of him. I'm going to do it. Engage. It's time to get busy. And that engage part. Move. Take action. And then yield. God, what's it going to cost me if I do this? And then really ask yourself, are you willing to pay the cost if you yield to him in obedience? So that's one opportunity you have to respond and apply what God might be telling you to do today. The other chance is definitely not a bit more public. It's definitely more public. Well, let's back up for a second. This is just a tool that you can use. But once you discern and once you write down what God wants you to do, I don't know if you're like me, but I forget a lot of things. So stick it on your steering wheel. Cut it down maybe, okay, if you're going to do that. Stick it on here. Put it on your computer monitor so you can remember and you don't forget what he told you to do. And second opportunity to apply the truth today is a little bit more public. There's two tables up front. They have our definition of a disciple. And maybe as we're going through the message today and through the time today, you're like, man, I need to commit to listen to the Lord. Maybe if you're honest, you don't really ever set aside time like Noah did to walk with God. You need to commit to listen to the Lord, and then what he tells you to do, you want to commit to step out and obey. If you want to make that commitment today to daily listen to the voice of God and step out in obedience and follow him, I encourage you in just a minute. There's pens up here. Come sign your name. We're not going to embarrass you about it, but there's something powerful when God tells us to do something. When we move and we step out, literally step out and come forward, it helps cement the decision in our minds. If you sign your name to these posters, we're not going to come back and say, hey, have you been doing this every day? But what we are going to do is place them in our prayer room. And myself and our prayer team will pray for you weekly by name that God would give you the discipline to pursue him, to listen, and the faith to step out and obey each and every day. So if that's something you want to do today, come up as we finish and respond in worship to our Heavenly Father. And if he's speaking to you, please write down what he's telling you to do, because if you're like me, you need to be reminded. Let's pray. Thank you, Father. Thank you, God. You do not just tell us what we have to do. Scripture is full of commands. But God, Ezekiel wrote in Ezekiel chapter 36 that you would give us a new heart, a heart of flesh and not a heart of stone. You would put, he said, you would put your spirit in us, God, and move us to obey your decrees and your commands, God. We don't do this alone. We don't come and just white knuckle bear down, trying harder to obey you, God. We come and we receive the fullness of the Holy Spirit who gives us the desire and empowers us to walk in the truth. Today, God, if you're speaking, may we make sure that we don't let that fall to the ground, God. We want to hear what you're saying. We want to do it. God, for too long, we confess we have had an inaction problem. You've been speaking and we've done nothing about it. That ends today, God. That ends for me today. I pray for someone else that ends today. Lord, continue to have your way in our lives. And this is a sermon, God, that is not intended just to be, wow, yeah, we need to do that, God. We want to put it into practice. Give us the strength on Monday and Tuesday to hear your voice. In Jesus' name we pray.